When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Agenda Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, taking a bite-sized look at some of the big Liverpool FC talking points.
Hello and welcome back to the latest Agenda Podcast here on the Blood Red Channel. I'm your host, Edward Kay, and I'm joined today by Liverpool.com's very own Ben Botchak. And today we are going to be discussing just a few of the stars of the current World Cup that are lighting up that Liverpool could be looking to bring in either in the January transfer window or, of course, more likely, in the summer. We're going to start out with a man I know you spent your morning talking about anyway, Ben. Mohamed Kudus scored again for Ghana. He's got two goals in the World Cup, scored in that thriller against South Korea. He's obviously been quite heavily linked with Liverpool in recent months, and he's another player who did score at Anfield in the Champions League, which does seem to be quite a good precursor for getting yourself a move to Anfield. Obviously, he wouldn't be the first to make that move, the likes of Minamino and Nunes scoring against Liverpool at Anfield before having made their moves in the following transfer windows. But yeah, Kudus, what do you think to him, Ben?
I really like him as a player. I think, you know, he's got versatility. He's got that bravery and that ability to take players on one-on-one. He likes to take on a lot of players, actually. And I think that's something Liverpool have kind of lacked, especially without Luis Diaz now for like the last few weeks. But even if you look at the Premier League table for dribbles attempted, Liverpool are, I think, in 13th place, if I remember correctly, which is quite low down when you think about it. So that's one aspect that I think he would give something extra, a new dimension to Liverpool. And the other aspect is his versatility. He can play in midfield. He can play out wide on the right wing, where he's played for Ghana against South Korea. And he's done it a few times at club level as well. And he can kind of slot into the middle as well and do the Firmino role, so to speak, which he's been doing for Ajax, although not everyone is that happy at Ajax that he is playing that position. I think himself as well, he sees himself as more of a midfielder, but based on his goal-scoring numbers, especially in the Champions League, he's doing all right in the forward position as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that versatility. Obviously, like you say, might prefer to play as midfielder, but can fill in do a job in the attack. Obviously, with him being able to play that right wing role, Liverpool have got quite a few players who can play that left wing role. Obviously, Diaz, Jota, Nunes now as well. But there's not really an understudy for Mohamed Salah. So obviously, he might want to come in and play in midfield, which is also somewhere Liverpool might be lacking. But how important is that versatility and that ability to, you know, plug a gap in midfield where it is, but also if Mohamed Salah needs a rest, he might be able to play there as well?
I think it's huge. I mean, if you look at pretty much the whole of the Liverpool attack, Nunes can play on the left. He can also play centrally. Firmino, Jota, and even potentially Diaz, he can play on the right as well. So they can all play at least one or two, at least two positions, maybe apart from Salah, but even Salah can play centrally as well. So they can all play at least two positions in the attack. And if Liverpool are to bring in another attacker, then it will have to be someone similar, someone versatile, someone like the options that they have available, because Klopp likes to rotate. He likes to play, you know, Jota on the right 1 week, Jota through the middle another week, and then Jota on the left the week after or the game after. So I think Kudus is someone who can do that. He has the ability to play in all those roles, and especially when we're looking at Roberto Firmino, we don't really know if he's going to stay, if he's going to leave at the end of the season with his contract running out. I really do see Kudus as the perfect replacement almost for him.
Yeah, obviously it remains to be seen whether Firmino will get another contract. Personally, I think he's probably earned one on the basis of so far this season. But yeah, like you say, if Firmino was to leave, I think getting another versatile attacker in would definitely be a top priority in the summer. But we'll move on to somebody else who's been lighting it up in this World Cup. at the time of recording, he is joint top scorer, but that could change very quickly given France are playing Tunisia and Kylian Mbappe is Kylian Mbappe. So, yeah, he's got 3-3 in the group stage for the Dutch, Cody Gakpo. Like I say, joint top scorer alongside Mbappe, Rashford and Enner Valencia at the time of recording. He's been quite heavily linked with Liverpool even before the World Cup. And he's another player who's sort of shows that versatility that's needed in a Jurgen Klopp squad with being able to play multiple positions across that front three. So what do you think to the rumours behind Liverpool and Cody Gakpo?
I like him as well. I mean, his numbers speak for themselves, not just at this World Cup, but he has 30 goal contributions in 23 games for PSV this season. And yeah, people will say it's only the Eredivisie, but those kind of numbers are pretty incredible. And I think if you're comparing the last sort of successful signing from the Eredivisie for Liverpool, at least they're on par with Luis Suarez's sort of figures when he moved to Liverpool in January. He's also, like you said, the versatility is a huge and crucial aspect. I think for me, he's a player like that. I think Liverpool already have players like him, whereas I think Kudus would bring something else, like a little bit extra to Liverpool, especially because Kudus can play in midfield as well. So if we're talking about, you know, someone coming in as a fifth or sixth option to start with anyway, I'd much rather fancy Kudus. I think he'd be a cheaper. I think Gakpo's price is going to be skyrocketing. And I think Kudus just has more positions that he can play in. Like, Gakpo is versatile, but he's only really versatile across the front three. I don't know if he can play a midfielder or for Liverpool anyway. He's played number 10 a few times for PSV, but obviously playing number 10 is much different to the kind of midfield role that you require from a Liverpool midfielder. And Kudus can do that because he's played holding midfielder in the past. He's played box to box in the past. So for me, if I had to choose, I'd go with Kudus. But I do like Gakpo as well. He's got a bit of a mixture of sort of Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez about him. He's tall, fast, and he knows where the goal is as well. That's for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned price point, and that's something that's obviously can be quite an issue when a player does come in and light it up at a World Cup like Gakpo has been doing thus far. Obviously, he's been linked with a number of top European clubs over the past few months, and that is only going to carry on now. With him having, you know, lit up the World Cup to the extent that he has so far, do you think that sort of rules him out from being an option for Liverpool? Obviously, they're never going to go out and spend over the odds on especially not on an unproven player. And while he may be doing it in the World Cup, you know, there is that question over only having done it in the Eredivisie. Do you think it's a slightly less realistic option for the Reds?
Well, there's also the James Rodriguez phenomenon. I mean, you know, you can do it at the World Cup and not necessarily be the world-class player. So I'm sure that there's going to be some reticence just signing him off the back of a tournament. But yeah, I think the crucial fact is that Liverpool were linked with him around the beginning of last year when his contract was meant to expire, and you know, Liverpool were kind of hoping to get him in on the cheap. But then since then, he signed a new contract until 2026. So now he's on a long-term contract, and PSV know they can demand the maximum sort of price tag for him. And with the likes of Manchester United being linked, I think a few others as well. Obviously, after this World Cup, there's probably going to be a whole host of clubs in for him. You know, that with a potential bidding war as well. I think that's going to make it difficult for Liverpool. But then again, you know, if there is a sudden new ownership or something coming up, then you know, that there might be a radical sort of change in how Liverpool do business, and then maybe Gakpo will become an option. But for me, I just see Kudus as the more realistic one. He has one less year on his contract, and he doesn't seem to have that much hype around him, even though he's almost doing just as well as Gakpo at the World Cup.
The Agenda on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, as you say, price is currently an issue for Liverpool, but who knows with the ownership changes, we might be on to talking about Mbappe and Bellingham soon. But we can hope. We'll move on to the midfield now, though. Ecuadorian Moises Caicedo, also of Brighton. Sadly, Ecuador knocked out after the results yesterday, but I can't imagine that's going to impact Liverpool's interest in him, is it, Ben?
No, and again, when we're talking about price tags as well, he's an interesting one because Brighton don't really let their players go on the cheap. He's on a long-term contract as well. I kind of enjoyed Ecuador's performances at the World Cup so far. I thought they were unlucky to be eliminated, but Senegal, even without Sadio Mane, are a strong force, and they showed that. Caicedo, I think, got the goal as well, if I'm correct. So he's been doing really well. At this World Cup, I think the opening game, I really liked the way he played against Qatar, the amount of balls he won. I think he's the exact midfielder Liverpool kind of need. He runs a lot. He wins challenges. He breaks up play, but he can also instigate attacks and spread passes and run forward and get goals as well. So I think he's the full package. And even though he's had a small sample so far in the Premier League, that small sample has been really impressive. And if Liverpool can't get Jude Bellingham, then I think Caicedo is a very smart alternative.
Yeah, you mentioned the sort of role he can play there, and a lot of people have been clamouring since Wijnaldum left. A lot of people have been complaining that, you know, Liverpool haven't replaced him, and I think I am firmly in that camp of them needing that sort of midfielder who brings the energy, you know, breaks it up, but can also pop up with a goal, like you said. Do you think that Moises Caicedo would be a decent replacement for that Gini Wijnaldum role?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, he's the right age in terms of profile. He's young, and yeah, I think he does. I mean, people might not like me for saying this because Wijnaldum was kind of like a hot and cold figure at Liverpool. You either hated him or you loved him. But he does remind me a little bit of Wijnaldum in the way he plays. Maybe he's a bit more aggressive in his defending, but in terms of on the ball, I think he has shades of Wijnaldum in him.
Yeah, certainly a player that needs replacing. I know he was hot and cold at Liverpool, but I'm definitely one of the people who was very, very big fan of Wijnaldum. We'll move on to another youthful midfielder then. One who took his goal well against Mexico, Enzo Fernandez. Obviously, playing in a team alongside Messi, it's easy to get overshadowed, but Messi obviously got the first, he got the second. He's another versatile midfield option, and goals from midfield, is that exactly what the Reds need right now?
I think so, and I think Enzo Fernandez doesn't just bring you goals. He's also someone who's more of a box-to-box player. He's multifaceted. He controls the midfield. I would compare him to sort of Tchouameni, who Liverpool missed out on in the summer. And I think from a personal point, all the players we mentioned so far, I've wrote about for Liverpool.com as players to watch for the tournament, and they all seem to have done pretty well so far. So that definitely feels good from a personal side of things. But I think Fernandez is someone who I've watched a lot at Benfica, and he's really he arrived in the summer from Argentina, and there was a bit of hype around him because he's done well in Argentina. But I think ever since he's come to Benfica, he's gone and taken another level. And you know, obviously Julian Ward is not going to be at Liverpool for the long term, but we know that he has connections in Portugal, and I wouldn't be surprised if Fernandez is someone on Liverpool's radar.
Yeah, if he is on Liverpool's radar, hopefully we could maybe get done in January, like you say, before Julian Ward and his many, many Portuguese links fly off into the sunset. But we're going to move on to another midfield option who doesn't really need much of an explanation, Jude Bellingham. He just oozes class and composure every time he plays. It's obviously he's just heaping more and more onto what is already going to be an astronomical price. Do you think it is even a realistic option for Liverpool at this point?
I mean, you can always hope. You know, I think with Bellingham, I firmly believe, unlike maybe a Haaland or a Sancho, that he isn't necessarily swayed by just the financial aspect of the deal. Obviously Dortmund will want the most amount of money for him, but in terms of the contract and the wages, I think he's really going to look at the project and playing it in front of a set of supporters who he will be able to have a connection with, the kind of manager that he could work with. And I think from that point of view, for Bellingham at least, I think Liverpool has a big appeal, and that's what the reports continue to say, even though with every performance it feels like he's getting out of sort of Liverpool's reach. But I think it's still possible, especially with the new ownership question. You know, there's talk of FSG maybe giving Liverpool a parting gift. I wouldn't complain if that was Jude Bellingham. But it seems like this ownership question will get sorted sooner rather than later. At least for me, that's what I feel like. And I don't think Bellingham is going to move in January. So if everything gets dragged out until the summer, and if Liverpool have new ownership by then I think it's certainly possible. I think obviously depending on the owner, I think it can be done. And I definitely don't think he's a write-off for Liverpool just yet.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it will definitely be a case of having to convince him that Liverpool is the right sporting project for him. And he doesn't quite seem as though he'd be as swayed by the financials. I know things he said in the past, he thinks it's not about the money. It's about, you know, winning things and creating memories. But in terms of convincing him about Liverpool being that right sporting project, obviously the World Cup offers players of different clubs but the same nationality a chance to mingle. Do you think there's any potential for a bit of Agent Henderson, Agent Trent in there?
Well, we've already seen it. Trent has been all over Jude Bellingham for their whole England camp, almost. That they're always pictured together. So absolutely, 100%. And I think maybe Trent is already working on things behind the scenes for Liverpool.
Yeah, let's hope he is. But that's all we've got time for here on the agenda today. Hopefully Liverpool can snap up a few of, if not all of these brilliant players who've been lighting up the World Cup. But we'll see what happens with the new ownership. Ben, thanks for joining me. And for myself, it's goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the Agenda Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.